Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
Ah, the three-person experiment continues in earnest. What's really good is that we got a numbers boost last week, everybody. We are now, I think, the 300th arts and culture podcast in America.
You're so welcome.
The Lindsay
You're
Sheridan welcome. Boost. The Lindsay Sheridan boost.
Sheridan boost.
It's my two friends that subscribed that really.
It might have been the Dan boost. I'm buying stock in the Dan boost.
By the way, Lindsay's got a Dan. I've got a Dan. We've got like the Dan Society.
I don't have a Dan. Podcast. I need a Dan. You need a Dan. Who's out there who's a Dan who can be a friend of mine?
Hit us up at a hashtag imagination. Find us. Let's find a Dan for David. Hashtag find a Dan for David. Come on, Lindsay, get up on that. Put that on the website. That's a new campaign. Find a Dan for
David. Yeah, I'm on it.
So one of my former board members at my last job, he was a treasurer of our board. He ran the Madison Food Bank. He was a Dan. Okay. However, I don't think he listens to the podcast. Well, he's probably retired now and playing golf. I don't think he's super interested in this.
He could podcast. Listen. He could listen while he's, you know, jetting around the golf course.
That your listeners, true. Find us a Dan. Find Dan us a for Dan David. For David.
Hashtag Dan David. For David.
Right. It's a special episode this week. Again, new formats, new models.
Every week.
Every week's a new adventure. I guess every week's a different format when you think about it. We're all day-to-day, David, right? We're all living one day at a time, like the sitcom once sang. Shout out to Bonnie Franklin. So we're going to have later, we're going to talk to an artist who we partnered with for Light the Home, Kelly Hammond. So stay tuned for that. But in the near time, it's this week in Imagine MKE in arts and culture at the city, state, national level.
News roundup. There we go.
Wait, is that the right music or should it be like a teletype?
That was me trying to be a teletype. No, actually, I was a telegraph.
How about what kind of like transition noise does CNN have? Can you do that?
Oh, is it like whatever that is?
Yeah.
That's Law and Order. Never mind, it's Law and
Order. On that note, you know what was on CNN this last week?
What was on CNN this week?
The Pabst Theater.
Oh, hell, that's a good segue.
The Pabst Theater.
Now that's great. A podcast.
Why was the Pabst Theater on CNN this week? Did something happen?
Yes, thank you. yes, we had this week CNN Town Hall with your host, Anderson Cooper, and special guest, President Joseph Robinette Biden, in our city, our fair city, right off of Water Street at the Pabst. Shout out to the downtown bid that made downtown gorgeous. Shout out to Beth. Incredible. Shout out to Gabe. Squad over there looked gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
And indoors, shout out to the beautiful Pabst Theater, which hosted socially distanced questioners. You know, there was a town hall. This is much more like the village meetings I used to attend, where there's like seven people there. That's what it was. That was safety wise. Usually it'd probably be full, but
not used to seeing that with the president, right? Where we're like 10 people in a room with the president.
He's not talking about the vaccine. He's talking about the water reclamation project that's going to jack everyone's streets. That was the meeting he was going to talk about. Anyway, Biden came to Milwaukee, y'all. And while it was a national conversation, it was a way for the city to reintroduce itself to Milwaukee and Lindsay and
Wait,
David.
The city to reintroduce itself to Milwaukee? You mean the other way around, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you. The nation got to reintroduce itself to Milwaukee. I'm going to lean into it even more. I'm doubling down. our nation got to see Milwaukee again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not virtually, which passed for the virtual DNC, but literally got to see a president in Milwaukee. So y'all, how did Milwaukee look, or what stood out to you during that? And during that presentation.
You know, I think the thing that really stood out to me was how nice it was, right? To have the president here in town and to talk about the issues that are facing us, the nation, you know, at this very moment, right? I mean, we're still dealing with a pandemic that continues to challenge us. I really enjoyed his like explanation of like the supply chain problems in getting vaccines out, right? When he was like, we need more vaccinators. Like, if you can give a shot, like give us a call, right? I thought that was like a useful.
How are your digits? How is your thumb? How are your digits? Because if you can do that, we want you on board. Join us.
Because here's the thing, right? Like it's hard to get 300 million of anything to people, right? It's just, it's incredibly difficult. And we've had this incredible, like, this incredible miracle of science, right? That we were able to get a vaccine within a year of this pandemic. And yet, you know, the things that bedevil us are like, are there people, enough people? Are there enough vials? Are there enough, you know, people qualified to give folks shots? I think that these are just fascinating issues. And I thought he, you know, he was able to describe them in a way that that was easily understandable.
What struck you, Lindsay?
Well, I'm learning some of the content that Biden talked about during the program, because I only saw 10 minutes of it. I don't have cable, so I watched the free trial on CNN, and then it ran out. So I regret to say I don't have a take on much. But
hashtag cable for Lindsay. That
hashtag cable for Lindsay. Get Dan for David, and get a feed for Lindsay. Get a CNN feed for Lindsay. Everybody's gonna get a hashtag by the end of this.
But I will say it was thrilling to see the Pabst in all the national TV glory, to see the stage occupied with set pieces and people after all this time, and it was really exciting to see some local business folks and some people speaking on behalf of Milwaukee and Wisconsin and asking their questions.
It was small Milwaukee because I knew one of the presenters or the questioners. I'm like, wait, I know that person. So that's small Milwaukee. I'm like, yeah. I know that cat. I know that dude.
Does he live in Shorewood?
Yes. Uh-huh. The Shorewood. I knew that person. So there you go.
You know, I think the thing that I was a little bit bummed out about, and I'm not surprised, right, is that the there was no talk about the importance of the cultural and creative industries, right? Like, and I think
there was an arts teacher.
There was
about
to
give a question, yep. And then all of a sudden it pivoted to something else. Yep. And I did. That's right. I was like, come on.
And I think what's been really interesting has been, you know, in the campaign, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the need for a cabinet level position for arts and culture in the new administration. And then I think in this last week, there's an article that came out about like the having a developing a secretary of cultural and creative industries. And you know, I think it's a reminder, and also many other localities have been like, and advocacy groups have been calling for this, right? And so what would it take, right, for our nation to establish a new cabinet level position on this industry that is incredibly huge, right? I mean, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but like even in Wisconsin, I mean, cultural and creative production, you know, represents 3.1% of our GDP. It employs about 100,000 people in Wisconsin. Like, this is bigger than beer, right? At least in our state.
Shots and so fired. Shots fired by Disney.
Nationally, it's, you know, it's huge.
That's right. I mean, as you'll see, we're going to link to the article in the show description, because we'd love for you to read this too and share what you think about it. But, you know, the article starts out strong in reminding us that actually the cultural sector has a greater U.S. GDP than the entire agricultural sector. Yep. Isn't that crazy? So this isn't just a, hey, it'd be nice. We want someone to speak up for us on the cabinet because we're big advocates of arts and culture. This just makes good sense for the country and for the economy.
If I can just make one, you know, thought about one additional thought about this. I mean, like, I was incredibly surprised when I went to my first AFTA conference, how organized folks were, right, for protecting NEA funds and like arts funding. And it is tiny in comparison to the agriculture budget, particularly as it related to, you know, my previous job in hunger relief. The annual food stamps budget, the annual SNAP budget is so big, right? It's hundreds of billions of dollars. And yet the funding for arts and cultural and creative production is a fraction of that. And yet the industry is much bigger.
I think when you read the op-ed by Carla Canales in the USA Today that we'll link to, I think Ms. Canales gets to the key essence of it for me. So again, no spoilers, but it's this notion of arts is seen as a luxury item. And that's why it doesn't get, you know, the way you're framing it, it's like a pillar of a table of our economy, that if it lacks that table leg, that table isn't very sturdy, right? And that's an important mental model. And I think the current mental model a lot of folks have is this, artists are these unicorns, And it's nice. It's a nice to have. And I think that's by having some sort of position, you know, at that level, I think it reinforces, no, this is priority, right? These are not luxury items. Arts and culture aren't luxury items, but rather it's important for our ability to live and thrive. And so I think that's a really key point. And I do think establishing a role like that helps solidify that.
Yeah. And something that the article highlighted for me is that we are, you know, we're behind the world on this, right? Like as recently as early November, ministers of culture, so that would be our Secretary of Culture, came together for the first time in the history of the G20, actually, and talked about the impact of this health crisis on the arts and culture sector, and talked about the rise of the cultural economy. And that's a conversation we should be in on a world level, but we don't have someone to be there representing the U.S. right now in quite that same authoritative way. So it's time.
Well, I think so. So I think this last week, the governor released his biennial budget, right? And I think sort of in connecting these two points, he proposed a budget that I think tries to get at some of this, right? I think there's about around $30 million in economic development, which if you kind of think about it in the context of inspiring creativity, small businesses, and how local governments and businesses can sort of collaborate in creating development projects that center creativity and on workforce development and economic development. I think that is sort of part of what we're trying to get after in this last conversation, right? Like, how do you get the arts and creativity sort of central in some of the broader contexts of statewide economic development? And I think the governor's budget does a great first step in making that happen. I think though, like there's also this just purely funding the arts, right? I think there's about like $250,000 in some creative economy initiatives in the budget. But I think the match that they fund for the Wisconsin Arts Board to draw down federal funds is somewhere on the order of $50,000. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is the reason why we're 50th in the nation in funding for the arts, right? I mean, just in Milwaukee, our creative and cultural industries generate somewhere around, I'm sorry, no, just the nonprofit arts organizations generate about $225 million worth of annual expenditures, right? Like, this is 0.02% of the entire of just Milwaukee's production, right? And so I think thinking about our sector as a sector requires a partnership from the state and local government to help boost and support the sector so that it can fully realize its potential.
You know, I think I've just been talking to, as part of our, we participated in a cohort of emergency relief funds from the upper Midwest. And I think a lot of things you're talking about, David, really resonate because a lot of those folks are representing in this conversation, the Dakotas, right? They're in more rural areas. So when we talk about arts, it's not just a luxury item. It's not just an urban concept, but rather this is something that touches all parts, particularly rural exurbs, right? There's artists out there. There's folks that, you know, are nature. And I think that's, when I think about what Minnesota, you know, that we can learn from is that they've paired art with the environment as Minnesota's state culture. Like mm-hmm. this is what matters to the state. And by pairing them together, right, they're seen as essential and they're able to actually build a more consistent public funding stream. They had an amendment to their state budget that made sure that's why they're number one, you know, per capita, and across the river, we're 50th. So I think we're definitely, hopefully on a path to get closer to how do you make that argument or how do you fuse that more that like the environment and like, you know, that our artists essential.
You know, until we get towards that vision of a statewide program of the nature of Minnesota that would really much more significantly support arts and the environment, we have this opportunity now with sales tax policy changing. Mm-hmm. David, what do you think are some of the opportunities for Milwaukee City and County with this new policy coming down from the state?
Yeah, I think you all know that one of my top strengths is connectedness, right? So here I'm going to try to make this happen, right? So So the governor's budget tries to like proposes locality, giving localities the opportunity to tax themselves, right, to find new revenue streams. And, you know, 2 years ago, we were part of a coalition that was supported the Milwaukee County's desire to try to pass a bill at the state level to allow us to tax ourselves. And I think there's I think this is something that we are, again, broadly supportive of, partially because we need our city and county to be able to have funds to be able to do the things that create a city, right? A vibrant arts and culture scene requires vibrant cities. And right now, due to COVID, due to our current tax structure, we're just not there, right? And I think that as we create more revenue at the local level, there will be more revenue to go around. And I think one of the things that they ought to be doing is actually creating locally here in Milwaukee a coordinating office for arts and culture, right? Because there's so many opportunities right now at the city and county level that could be catalyzed on, right? That we can actually work on together. But because of some of the challenges with regards to funding at the Milwaukee Arts Board, with regards to capacity at the Parks Department, which is basically now sort of taken under, taken the CAMPAC program and some of the other county contracts with arts and cultural organizations, that they happen in silos, right? And if we had some extra dollars to be able to fund and sort of build the capacity of these two important organizations, and then potentially even also elevating them up to a quote unquote cabinet level position at the city and the county, I think that's a really powerful next step for us to really coordinate local policy, coordinate county policy, and work together with organizations like ours, like the museums, like the performing arts groups, like all the incredible groups in our arts and cultural ecosystem, where we're actually developing a coordinated local strategy and how we plug into this incredible creative economy.
We were at the national level. We just talked about the state. Let's bring it back home to the city and county level. And so at the city level, museums, earlier this week, four museums coordinated a press conference, right, to announce that they're reopening.
That's right.
Lindsay, you were there. You were live on the scene. What'd you pick up?
I was live hearing from some of the museum folks that a big announcement was coming. On February 18th, four museums made a joint announcement. So if you hadn't heard, Milwaukee Art Museum, Discovery World, Harley-Davidson, and the Public Museum came together.
The bigs.
Arguably the bigs. Yeah, announced a joint reopening for the first week of March. So this is new because as of November, City Public Health Order 4.2 meant that there were severe limits on number of people in buildings. So 10 at one time. And obviously, in a huge museum like some of these, there's plenty of space, but had to follow the public health order. So now that has shifted a bit, as caseloads have gone down for COVID a bit, they're able to reopen. So of course, not at max capacity, but it's exciting that we can start to think about getting back into cultural spaces.
And I think there's a great kind of parallel here, right? With the last conversation about like the importance of having a kind of a coordinating office at the city and county level doing that sort of policy work, right? Because I think when 4.2 came out, it really didn't take into account, as many folks who've listened to this podcast and who've been following us know, that like it didn't really take into account the different ways that our organizations do business. And so in the last few months, many of these other groups have been working with the city and with epidemiologists at MCW and other health experts to really tell that story to our public health department. And so I think this new order that's just come out that has allowed organizations like the museum, like all of the museums and other groups to be able to reopen is a great example of that. And if we had that cabinet level position at the city and county level, or at least a department that was fully funded and had capacity, they would be able to do this sort of work, you know, so that our nonprofit arts organizations, arts and cultural organizations in the city that generate $225 million worth of annual expenditures, can continue to operate and provide the value and impact back to the community.
You know, David, we're talking about these big edifices, right, where our arts and culture live, but arts and culture also lives in Milwaukee virtually as well. And so you found an interesting item. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, so a couple, so as you all know, a couple of, last year, we along with many of these other groups that we've been talking about, had been working with the fine folks at Google Arts and Culture on creating the Milwaukee Arts and Culture page. And for listeners, fans of this podcast, they were on the show last summer to talk about the page. And towards the end of the month, or towards the end of January, we got a great email from them saying, "Hey, can you introduce? Can you connect us with Dasha Kelly Hamilton? We're doing a project on Black History Month that we would love to incorporate her on." And so, Dasha Kelly Hamilton was a part of the Google Arts and Culture page. She, of course, is now the Wisconsin State Poet Laureate, and so the thing just got released earlier this week, which is so incredible. It's on the Arts and Culture page now in their celebration of Black History Month. They are celebrating G's Bend's quilters and the quilts that these folks in Alabama have made, sort of like kind of tracing down their family line and the sort of craftspersonship of creating quilts. And Dasha has written, I think, four poems responding to each of these quilts. Mm. And it is just magnificent. Once you get off of this podcast, or even right now, go to the show notes and click on the link that we have in the ephemera. You gotta see this exhibit. You gotta hear Dasha's reading of her four pieces and just sort of take in these quilts. It is just absolutely incredible. I don't know if you all have had a chance to take a look at it or listen to it, but it is the favorite thing. It is my favorite thing this last week.
I did when you shared it with me, and what I really loved was the way it wove the pieces, and then having her poetry. You click on and see the piece, hear her poetry, and then comes back, and it really was a different way to engage that. And it really was really powerful for me. And I mean, more people got to know about this. This is how neat. It reminds me like, how neat this page is. I freaking forget this page exists at times, because part of the downside of virtual is it isn't in front of you, right? So that, you know, like a building is, or you're not reminded, like you see the wings of the Calatrava. Oh, that's the art museum. Oh yeah, that's there. So I think that's one of the, But I think interventions or things like this help bump it up. Like, oh yeah, I should go revisit. It's gorgeous.
That's right. So, well, as David mentioned, the link is in the bio, but also if you think about this later and don't want to pull back up our podcast, there's so much to explore at artsandculture.google.com. And if you go there and you search for Dasha Kelly Hamilton, this incredible project will come up, and so will an artist profile that we did on her as part of Milwaukee's Google Arts and Culture page.
Dasha Kelly, I should also note, friend of the pod, friend of the organization, friend of words and poetry and just creativity everywhere. And also, interestingly, parts of Life in Motion are actually on the whole poem is actually on the Light the Hone poster that was created by Queen Kel, the creator. There we go.
There it is.
Land on the plane.
So listeners, coming up, we're going to have a great interview with the artist that we collaborated on to create that poster. But we were invited by the folks at Light the Hone to be the featured nonprofit for February. They're embarking on a year-long project where each month they highlight a nonprofit. They partner with an artist to make a poster that celebrates that nonprofit, which you can buy when you purchase a bowl dedication right now. And even more than that, they're going to light up the Hone in special colors just for that nonprofit for one night every month. And so ours is coming up this Thursday. So as you're listening to this, just a day or two, so get ready. Thursday, February 25th, The lights will go on a half hour before sunset. So that'll be about 5. And they'll be on until 2 a.m. So drive over there and see the colors. We'll leave them a bit of a surprise as to what exactly they are. But they'll be new. They'll not be any color combination you've seen home before.
Whoa, teaser. Hello.
Wait, is Hosted and Absinthe going to make the lights jump to our Tropical House beats?
You know, I couldn't. The official theme? The budget wasn't there for that, but we could make that happen. So when you pull up to watch the lights on the Hone, pull up our podcast and
yeah, sync it alone.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that like watching you know, The Wizard of Oz and listening to Pink Floyd's The Wall or like Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon? Like it syncs up. The same thing. You listen
is
to
this
podcast.
A concept you just created or is this
no, it's like a legit thing. Oh, hey, our listeners over 40 years old, you're all nodding. Like, I know that reference. I get you, Mac. I'm here for you. Hashtag here for you, Mac. Here for your pop culture. That's my thing. Yes, it syncs up. We will sync up and play the pod. And also let's celebrate Kenita Hickman, who helped make that, you know, this was just a concept a few months ago, but now connecting artists with different not-for-profits like the Humane Society, We Got This, MKE, several others. It's really cool to see the bridge celebrate organizations that are bridging the city together. And with that, let's get to the actual artist who we're gonna talk to, who actually put the piece together. Her name is Kelly Hammond. In her words, you could call me an artist, but I think of myself more as a creator. Drawing, painting, writing, design, photography, all these creative outlets serve their purpose in the balance of my life. My urge to create new beautiful things is constantly pushing me towards my next great adventure in the art world. And so it was from the hands and mind of Kelly Hammond was the piece created for this. And here she is after the break.
My heart is broken. I can't feel it beating anymore. Memories.
Hey, Kelly, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey.
Well, we loved being able to collaborate with you on Light the Hone, so we thought we'd have you in for a bit more of a conversation in honor of Light the Hone, of the Hone actually being lit this week and continued sales of the amazing poster you made with us. But wanted to start by inviting you to think back a bit earlier in life and share a story of an arts and culture experience that really resonated with you, that impacted you.
I've been an artist kind of as long as I can remember. I come from a family of artists, so I can't really tell you one specific thing that kind of brought it up in me, but I do remember, like most of my family that are artists, they live out in California. It's my mom's side of the family. So I have a great grandma and a grandma who were really great painters and also did some pottery. Wow. And then I have an uncle who's a sculptor and he has a little studio in his house. And I remember, I just always loved being in there. And he always loved the things that I would make, even as a kid. So that really inspired me to continue and kind of follow in the footsteps. And that's kind of a reason why I never really stuck to one medium. I do sculpting, painting, drawing, a little bit of everything. So yeah.
Was there a particular piece either that one of your relatives made or maybe that you made that they commented on that's sort of like...
Yes, actually.
Like, man, I made this ashtray in the shape of a heart once, and that you know, I'm telling my that's my story. Go ahead, you tell yours.
Everyone has one.
I do have one actually. I don't know where the idea came. I was really young when I made it, but I named it the Kello Cat because my name's Kelly, and they would call me Kello. And it was a cartoon-looking cat, and it had one arm up like this, like it was being really sassy. And I named it the Kello Cat. I don't know. And everyone loved it. It still to this day travels around from group to group. So that's fun.
Nice.
It never got lost. Or
how old were you how old were you made Kello Cat? Or when was that?
Probably 8.
Wow.
I would guess.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so great.
I mean, it was pretty, it's still pretty rudimentary, let's get real, but I thought it was pretty good. They thought it was good for my age.
Yeah, right. That's so awesome.
Does the original of this Kello Cat travel around your family? Like, is it like, is it like sacred piece of paper?
It's just bopped around. I think it's like when people move, they're kind of like, oh, someone else needs to take the Kello Cat. Like, it's your turn.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. I don't have, like, it's not like I have a certificate for winning like the fire prevention essay. Like, that's what I did growing up. It's not like they passed that around. So I wish I made something like
right.
that. We connected on Light the Hone, which was an opportunity where they are going to, Light the Hone, the bridge is partnering with several nonprofits throughout the year to feature them every month. Right. And so part of that is also connecting with an artist to create a piece inspired by the partnership. And so we're the first one. We connected with you. And so what origin story about that? How did you find yourself in this this opportunity, or how did you discover it, and what inspired you to apply?
I actually have friends that sent it to me. You guys had posted the calling for artists on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I'm big on Instagram. I don't really use much else. Mm-hmm. And I had two different friends. Ironically, both of their names are Sophia, the only two Sophias I know. Mm. And they both sent me the link and were like, you should really apply for this. Like, that would be really cool. And I have never really like applied for anything like to do anything special with my art or really put it out there. And so I just kind of on a whim just was like, well, I don't have to do anything. I just have to send them a link and a bio. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. And it worked out and I was really shocked and excited. So thank you guys.
It was a pretty low barrier for entry, right? In some way, right? You're just like, well, I already got this stuff laying around, right? Let me just compile it, right? Like, it's not, you're able to put it in. But mm-hmm. I think you had to pick, imagine, because there was a list of nonprofits you could partner with, right? Yeah. And so I think you picked us among your first choices, right?
Yes. And yeah.
What was that about? Tell us more.
I was looking through all of the charities and I was like, okay, obviously I wanted to pick one that like speaks to me more than the rest. And like, first of all, I love your name, Imagine Milwaukee. Like, that's awesome. And it has to encompass like all the different arts. And I just feel like that really just like represents me and like just who I am, because I'm all the different arts all put together. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get more involved with you guys because I didn't really know much about you until I applied for this. So I looked at your website. You're just all about supporting all the arts in Milwaukee. And we need something like that. I had never heard of you guys.
Well, we were excited to hear about you and learn about your work. Thanks to your friend Sophia for having.
We all need Sophias in our lives.
Yeah,
we all need Sophias. Yes.
Yeah,
right. It was like the sisterhood of Sophias out. They're just telling people, "Hey, you should do this," and then they whisk away like the wind. They just go away and just melt away.
Yeah,
the supportive Sophias.
We all need them in our lives.
Well, we were completely excited by the fact that you work in so many mediums, because we thought, well, this project is already pretty abstract. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But
you're talking about Imagine the organization.
Oh, the project of Imagine.
Oh, the project.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm like,
yes,
because that goes for me too in the org as well. I don't know what we're doing.
No. So. But this particular call to create a piece of art, we were, it was a new idea, and we thought you could handle anything. You could do it in all these different mediums. So what?
I
was
guess
that?
I can.
Yeah. What was that like coming into trying to create a poster to translate this abstract idea, like Mac was saying, of Imagine into something visual?
I mean, it was a little daunting at first. I was expecting to have more of like, this is the path we want to go down. And it ended up being like, leave it up to you. What do you want to do? What makes sense to you? And so I'm kind of used to that, actually. That's kind of how I work. I don't like to work super literally. Mm-hmm. So that really wasn't hard for me. And I had some stuff already at home, that which is why I used collage, because I didn't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my stuff, I like to get really detailed. And so I was like, I'm just going to use some things I already have. This could go with this. And, you know, I'm not much of a planner. I like to kind of start something with a vague idea and then just kind of see where things go and what I like. Which is the beauty of collage, is because I can make an element and kind of decide what I want to do with it as I'm making it. Mm-hmm. So it was just an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, when I saw it, because I know Kenita had shared, hey, here's an early look at it. And I was like, yeah, that's it. Like, that was my first. I'm like, that totally, yeah, that's really, I had that reaction to it. Like, in a way that I felt like you did capture the nuances of how do you capture abundance on a two-dimensional plane, you know, and maybe even the attempt of weaving pieces together. To me, how it landed on me was even the way you're trying to do it models the sort of struggle. And I don't mean struggle in a negative way, but just the challenge of how does one capture the amazingness in one city on one page or the possibility. So from a process, yeah, as someone who works here, I thought like, wow, you really captured it. So it really resonated with me in that way.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. You are an artist, as evidence. You wouldn't have done that thing. So there's two dimensions that Lindsay and I are curious to think about, because there's being an artist in Milwaukee and then being an artist in Milwaukee during the last 11 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a reaction there. So, and I don't know if there's differences between the two, but would definitely love your reactions to what are the new, you know, what, from your perspective, what's it like being an artist in Milwaukee and then comma, are there unique nuances given what's happened with the pandemic and sort of how it's affected the ability to practice?
In terms of being an artist in Milwaukee, I don't know how like Milwaukee specific I am as an artist, because I'm kind of more of, I mean, I'd like to become more of a collaborator, but I've been more of just an individual artist. I mm-hmm. do what I feel like doing mm-hmm. without, you know, anyone else in mind. And with the pandemic, it sort of forced me to slow down and like really explore other options. Like, I'm so much less distracted with other things going on that now it's just like, okay, like, what do you want to do that's going to make you grow as an artist and also soothe your soul during this tough time? Mm-hmm. So kind of a combination of trying new things, doing things I know I already like that, you know, I don't care how it turns out. It's just, you know, therapy in a way. Mm. But I've certainly done a lot more creating in the past year than I have probably in my whole life, just because mm-hmm. that's what makes me feel good. And that's what I've been needing the most. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of Milwaukee specific, what I love about Milwaukee is how non-judgmental we are and how like open exploration everyone is. It's like never standing still, I guess, in a way. And everyone's very supportive of one another and what they're doing. Yeah.
Go ahead, Lindsay, sir.
Is there something new that you're working on that's kind of come out of this different time that you want to share, that you want people to keep an eye out for, or just want to brag about a little bit?
Sure. There is something that I came up with that was really random that people gravitated towards. I wasn't expecting so many people to want them, but I made these little pots. I started doing more sculpting with like oven bake clay. So they're little pots that look like different fruits. So like I did a lemon pot was the original and everyone just loved it. It looks really real. I don't know how, because it's like just the most basic thing. And everyone loved them. And everyone was like, you should make an orange. You should make a lime. You should do this and that. And I made a ton of them and people are just, I can't keep them here. People want them. So that was really exciting. I wasn't expecting that, but I'm trying to sell more stuff this year. So I think I'll keep pushing those because people just seem to like them. Maybe that goes along with how everyone's so into plants lately. Perhaps that's why.
I mean, I fit that bill. I have like 11 plants now. So you bet I'm going to be looking for those fruit pots. I want one now. So sorry, go ahead.
No, they're not on my website yet because I was worried about putting them up right before I started doing this poster project because I didn't think I'd have enough time. So I still have to put those up on my website, but I'm going to do that really soon and then people can start to order them. Mm. Yeah, I was worried about getting a little overwhelmed because I didn't have a ton of time to do the poster. Mm. That was kind of my main priority. So I'll get back to my other stuff now.
Yeah.
Kelly, when you say I want to sell more stuff this coming year, I got to imagine a lot of other artists would feel the same way you do, right? They want to make sure what they create gets out to the audiences to receive them. And I would love, you know, from your perspective, you know, what would make it easier for you to sell more stuff, or what would be supporting the conditions for you to do that? Obviously you have to create and make, but I was wondering, are there other, you know, when I think about your, you know, how you go about, you talked about your website, what would make it easier for that?
I mean, this is probably, everyone says this, but just to have more time to create and to research, you know, my audience. And like, I don't know enough about marketing to really like know what's the right game plan to go for. So I've been kind of relying on just organic sales, people sharing and that, but it wouldn't hurt to like see what kind of other, maybe local places around the area have a similar aesthetic and they would be interested in selling my stuff. Like, I think that's more of what I need to do this year, put myself out there more. Cause then I'm also collaborating with another person, another small business. So we're kind of helping each other in a way.
Right. But what I'm hearing you say is there's all sorts of small goods places that probably pride themselves on selling, you know, local artists or featuring local product. And somehow to facilitate the ability for you to understand, okay, what's working, you know, in these small spaces, and then what might align with what interests you, that'd be nice. Because right now it's a little, like you say, organic, almost person to person, right? As opposed to, like, again, the lemon caught on because a couple of the people like the lemons, but you wouldn't have known that, you know, that's a nice, that's serendipity, but you'd like to be less chance than not.
Right. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I want to find, you know, a customer base that is interested in this kind of stuff that I want to make, because I don't want to sell my soul here just to make money. Like, I want to still enjoy it because, you know, I still have a job. Like, this is still my hobby that I just want to capitalize on in a way without totally losing like the individuality of it. That's what happens far too often with artists, is they cater too much to their audience and then they don't enjoy what they do anymore. And that's who I am. I can't lose that about me. So I make sure I protect that.
Kelly, in that spirit, are there some artists in Milwaukee that you want to give a shout out to that you think folks should be checking out?
Yes. I have a very good friend who's a singer-songwriter, and she also just recently published a poetry book. Her name is Fiona Blue. Her book is called Opia. And she's really been inspiring me lately to write, because when my artistic outlets aren't working for me, writing definitely does. So definitely check her out. And then another artist, his name is Joe Quinto. He's a R&B rapper. He wrote a really great song that's a new release called Winter in Wisconsin. And that's that I wanted to use. I originally wanted to use words from that because it just resonates with me so much. Like, I get my strongest work done in winter, because that's when I'm just feeling like I need it the most, you know. Winter's really hard for me, so I really lean on my artwork. So that's why I love that song so much.
All right. Kelly, I'm so grateful for your lovely capturing of Imagine MKE. And it's been so great to connect with you. I'd say, you know, we're lucky to have you capture who we are, you know, in that poster. And what I'm wondering is, how can other folks connect with you? How can they find you?
I'm most active on Instagram. My handle is Queen Kel the Creator. I came up with that a while ago and it just kind of stuck. And then I also have a website, queenkelthecreator.com.
Great.
Where you can reach out to me there too and kind of see the range of works that I do. I don't post a lot of my graphic design stuff on my Instagram, but I have a lot of that stuff on my website as well.
And we don't have the citrus based pottery yet. To be soon.
It's all on my Instagram though.
Okay. That's on the Insta.
Yeah.
We'll check it out. We're going to be checking it out. Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool beans. So my Etsy I don't I don't really sell a ton on Etsy, but it's Kel's Etsy store. There's a link
one
in
L?
My
one L.
Yes. Yes.
We will link to it in the we will link
there's
to
a
it.
Link to it in my on my Instagram. There's a link in my bio.
Great. That's stellar.
Yes, for convenience.
Thanks so much, Kelly, for being with us. And we look forward to getting more posters out there, and we'll be thinking of you when they light it up for
Yeah, thank college. You. I'm very excited.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Saying something. Cause I've done winters in Wisconsin. Walking through this life trying to figure what it means. If you are what you wear, I've got a lot of blue jeans.
Well, that was, I like talking to artists. If you're looking for more, baby, it can't be. I'm always jealous of when you did Arts Forum MKE. You're like, oh, did I like subconsciously subtweet all the other guests that we've ever done on? I think I just did.
That's right. I mean, I'm amazed by the variety of artistic practice that she has, and I am absolutely going to go buy one of those fruit pots when they're available. So I'm grateful to have learned about those today.
Yeah, I think from her conversation and what she shared with me, I'm really holding what would it take for artists like herself to make it easier for folks to access it. And that's what I'm holding on to and thinking about her advice or again her insights that would make it easier. And it sounds like how do we synchronize a lot of the different places where people buy locally and get them to coordinate with all these artists that are out there. And I imagine these are all like relationship. These are the usual practice is siloed relationships. If you know, you happen to know. So maybe there's an opportunity here for Imagine to figure out how to amplify that or scale that up. How do these places get to know these artists more?
Yeah. And I think hearing Kelly's story about her work and how she balances it with a day job is a good reminder for us that artists plug into their creativity in a variety of ways, that they live their lives as artists in a variety of ways. And so there's different needs and different resources needed for various artist lifestyles. Right.
Mm-hmm. And also she was very clear. It's part therapy. It's part survival. It's what makes her, right? And again, for a lot of our artists, that's why they're going to continue to persist even through the pandemic, which has taken away the audiences, has taken away the markets for this to happen. So even though Kelly and her fellow artists and creatives do it to survive, it's not a grant take for granted situation. We got to figure out how to meet them where they're at to sustain them more. So it's not just survival.
Well, listeners, thanks for tuning in and being as much of a fan of Milwaukee artists as we are. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort, edited, produced, and hosted by David Lee, Lindsay Sheridan, and myself, Carter Antigua, and is part of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network. Go and listen to our fellow podcast, Black Imagination, as well as the back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE or on Facebook or LinkedIn. Just search Imagine MKE.
Thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you next Tuesday when we may have solved #DanForDavid as we welcome Dan Schaefer, columnist and founder at the Recombobulation Area. He's a journalist who covers Wisconsin state politics and he'll have takes on the budget and how it may have implications for arts and culture. Till then, see you soon. Wow, it's like a real talk show.
Just need a producer. It's like a real talk show. Where are my cue cards?
Where's my intern getting me my yogurt?
Yep.
All right.
See, Lindsay, this is what happens when you join the podcast. We get like real like cues and real topics as opposed to me and Mac just recording and hoping for the best.
Write that in my 6-month review.
Yes.
It'll be forgotten by the time the meeting happens.
That's right.
So wait, what was that about being a cool boss? Wait, what?
Who?
All right, David.
All right.